Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." This is our text. In today's gospel reading, Jesus says it so simply and so clearly. This is my commandment: love one another. Love one another. It sounds like it should be so easy. Jesus doesn't command us to pray 5 times a day, or fast 2x a week, or go on long pilgrimages to holy places, or do any other kind of difficult or burdensome thing. He simply says this: love one another. That's it. Just love one another. That is, in fact, a summary of all of God's commandments. Having no other gods, not misusing the name of the Lord your God, hearing his word on the Sabbath day, not honoring your parents, not murdering or committing adultery or stealing or bearing false testimony or coveting. This is what love looks like. Abide in my love, Jesus says. Love one another. But I don't have to tell you how hard that is. Instead of love, how often do anger, discord, bitterness, partiality, jealousy, impatience, suspicion, hostility, greed, laziness, and discontent reign in our lives? Instead of caring, we criticize. Instead of giving of ourselves, we gripe and we grumble. Instead of understanding, we get impatient. We'd rather let somebody else do the job of helping so that we can mind our own business. We resent the good fortune that others have instead of rejoicing with them. And we know that it shouldn't be like this. We wish that it wasn't like this. Yet how often do these things just come welling up out of our hearts? The sin that we didn't even know was there. I often say what bothers me most about my sin are not the sins that are so obvious, but rather the ones that seem to come out of nowhere. When I wasn't expecting it, they catch me off guard. When my heart seemed to be perfectly fine, and suddenly there's a sin in my mind or my words or in my actions. The sin that we inherited from Adam that infects us and that poisons our lives and poisons our love. God only gave Adam one commandment as well. Remember? Don't eat of that one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's all he asked. You can eat from all the other trees. Eat from the apple trees and the orange trees and the pears and the pomegranates and figs and cherries and you name it. They're all yours to eat and enjoy. Just not that one, please. Reserve that one for me. And by not eating it, what is Adam missing out on? It's not like God has given him a bunch of junk, and now there's this one amazing fruit that God is keeping from him. Adam is missing out on nothing. He's not being deprived of anything. He's simply loving God by keeping and by honoring this one request. But he couldn't do it. You know, there's a difference between Eve and Adam. Eve was deceived. She was tricked into sin, but Adam did it willfully. Because he couldn't have that tree, it was the tree he wanted most of all. You know how it is with children. Tell them that they can't have it, and they can't stop thinking about it and desiring it and wanting it. I'll think about adults. We're like that as well. And the more the time goes on for Adam, the harder it gets. And that's the way it is with sin. We want what we can't have, or what we shouldn't have, or what hasn't been given to us. And taking it, going after it, or desiring it hurts our love for one another. Because when we do that, we're only thinking of me, not of them. Only thinking of helping myself, not of helping others. Only loving me and not loving one another. And then Jesus gives his command, love one another. It sounds so simple. And yet we may even think when he says that, what about me? And then it's all about me again, and this tyranny of the worst kind, as we heard about in our hymn that we just sang, fast bound in Satan's chains I lay, when it's all about me. And the thing that's all about me are those chains. I am chained to myself, the chains of sin and death. But Jesus wouldn't have us be chained. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. You see, Jesus is not imposing on us. He wants us to have joy. But when we love only ourselves, there is no joy. At least no joy that lasts beyond the moment. It's only something that caves to the insatiable and unending desire for more. For that one tree of which God said, please, no. So what's a God to do with people like us? To give us more rules, more laws, more commandments? That's what some think, but that doesn't work. And I'll be honest, when I think about myself as a father, sometimes when there's a transgression of one commandment, the temptation is to double down and give a whole bunch more and make them obey. But if we can't keep even that one, how are we going to keep more? No, more rules, more laws, more commandments is the way of servants and of slaves. But you heard what Jesus said today. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Isn't that an amazing word? Friends, not slaves. Friends, not servants or acquaintances or employees, but friends. Friends to whom Jesus has revealed a better way, telling us not more that we have to do, but what he has come to do. The one tree that Adam could not resist, and that same tree of desire that we cannot resist, that is the one tree that Jesus also cannot resist. But it's not his sinful desire that compels him to the tree. It's his love. The one tree that he cannot resist is the tree of the cross. For greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. Jesus is the one who came to lay down his life. And in calling you his friends, he is telling you that he came to lay down his life for you. What wells up within his heart, what comes out of him, is not sin, but love. And so he came not only to demonstrate love, but to give love to us. He calls us friends, not because we deserve to be his friends, not because we've earned his friendship, but by calling us his friends, he is making us his friends. He names us. And you know what it's like when whatever God calls something, that's what it is. Whatever God names something, that's what it becomes. So when he names us his friends, we are his friends. God's word does what it says. We did not choose him, but he chose us. Or in other words, we're not his friends because of what we do. We're not his friends because we keep his commandment. We are his friends because of what he did, because of his tree, because of his cross, because of his love. As one tree made us all sinners, so one tree makes us all righteous again. As one tree made us slaves to sin, so one tree sets us free. As one tree brought death into the world, so one tree brings life to the world. As one tree brought the end of love, so another one tree brings love full and free. When Jesus laid down his life on the cross for you, when he laid down his life for sinners like you and me, for us who are rebellious and disobedient, for we who only want to think about ourselves, he did it so that you might die and that a new you might arise with him to live again. Jesus died for you and me, not so that we can continue to dwell on ourselves, but so that we can be set free by his forgiveness to a life that is full of love. And this is why Jesus baptized you. You are baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You were baptized so that by that water, the old Adam in you, that old sinful nature in you, might die. And a friend of God, a new Adam, might arise and live. In the water of holy baptism, his tree became your tree, a tree that brings life and not death. In the water of baptism, he forgave all your sins and showed you the love of God, that you might live a new life, so that you might be no longer a slave of sin, but a friend of God's Son, set free to love. So let's make sure that we have the order straight. We don't love one another in order to become God's friend. We don't love one another so that we can come to Jesus and say, "Look, I love my neighbors, so you need to make me your friend." Adam didn't become holy by doing what God commanded. When God made Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he made them already holy and already sinless. And we don't love one another to earn something from God and become holy. But by baptism, you already are holy. By baptism, you already are a new creation. Through baptism, you already are a friend of God. And your sins are forgiven so that you can have the joy that God has for you. The joy of loving and of giving. Friends of God. And as if that's not enough, Jesus said even more, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." Don't run past that sentence. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. The Father's love for Jesus, the Son, is his love for you as well. And that's amazing. It's a completely undeserved, a completely free, and a completely perfect love from the King of creation, the God of the universe, the one who made all things. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. And yes, it does sound so easy to abide in this completely 100% free and undeserved love. But even that isn't easy. Starting out may be easy, but abiding is not. Remaining in that love is difficult because there are so many temptations. There are so many forbidden trees. There is so much false and deceiving information. There are so many challenges and the old sinful nature that still swims in us. And just as with Eve, the devil doesn't pluck the fruit and place it in your hand, but he makes you want it. He makes you desire it. He lures and entices you. He makes it look good and makes you all kinds of promises if you will just love his word. Love yourself and love the fruit. But Jesus' love is different. The Father's love is different. The love of our God is a love that gives you what he promises. He doesn't tempt you to make you less. He loves you to make you more. He loves you to make you more filled with love and more filled with life and more filled with him. He gives you what is good, both for your life now and for your life forever. And so Jesus gives you a fruit that is given and not taken, the fruit that comes from his tree of the cross to you. He gives you today the fruit of his own body and blood. Eat this, he says, for life. Eat this for the forgiveness of your sins. Eat this, and I abide in you, and you in me, and my love abides in you. Eat this often. This is the food that you need. And so once again, Jesus gives us what we need, that we may be who we were created to be. The Spirit and the water and the blood, his Spirit and his water and his blood all testify to that, to his love and his forgiveness and his life that are given to you, his friends. Little children, because he has loved us, and because he continues to love us, and because he has loved us fully and freely and forgiven all our sins, and because he has promised that his love will have its way with us forever, love one another. In Jesus' name, amen.